All right, tonight, if you would, take your scriptures and turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and we'll read verse number 1, then we'll skip down to verse number 6 and read verse 6 and 7. Peter tells us, it says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Here Peter is writing and telling us that he is now of elder age. His life has been well spent. He tells us that he is witness to the suffering of Christ and eyewitness to those things that took place in the life of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and then, of course, of the crucifixion. He says in verse number 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I was thinking this afternoon of all the different requests this morning and people that we know that are suffering a lot of different things. There's physical suffering that people are going through. There are personal sufferings, mental sufferings, and of course, loss of loved ones. Any time is tragic and hard to handle, hard to deal with, and because all of a sudden that person that we are accustomed to being with, they are no longer there. I don't know how many times I've wished I could ask my dad a question or my mom a question. I don't know how many times it's gone through my mind that I wish I knew this. I know they knew it. Something maybe about the family or something in the history of different folks of our family. I remember going to different cemeteries as a kid, and I didn't care a thing about that. And I guess the older you get, the more you care about it. And there's some places that we went that I have no idea where some of them are. And then some of those cemeteries that I know about, I have no idea where the markers are, because some of them are way back in the early 1800s, and they just put up a rock, and you're supposed to know who is there. There's no marker with a name on that. And I've wished 100 times I could go back and make that trip. And so we have all these things that go on in our life and the tragedies of life. And I'm glad for verse number 7 that he tells us that he cares for us. He cares for those of his people. He loves the world, but he cares for you and I that belong to him. And I can imagine Brother Darrell and the loss of his brother, and just a few months ago, his mother. And so those are things that are very instant in the heart and the mind, brings back all those things. But I'm glad we have one that we can cast our cares upon, that we can place our burden upon. We can literally throw those things upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will certainly help us, and he can give healing to our thought process, and he can give healing to a broken heart. He can put back and mend the things that have been torn asunder by circumstances of life. And if we were to go around the auditorium tonight, and if we could be honest, we could tell about broken lives and broken hearts that we've known, and how that the Lord did some things for people. And then there are those that seemingly they continued their way and outside of the things of the Lord. And what a tragic thing it is to die without God. But we can cast our care upon him. We're living in a world that is literally, I guess for a better lack of a better word, it's a powder keg ready to be lit, and maybe already lit, ready to blow. We have struggles everywhere. Everyone, every day you hear somebody killing someone, or you hear the mass murders and the school shootings and the parking lot shootings, and just everywhere that we look, there's tragedy on every hand. And certainly the Middle East is a place that struggles with all kind of tragic incidences that take place. Our world is not a safe place, and America is not a safe place, and really the rural America anymore is not safe as we used to be, or maybe that we think it still is. And so we're living in a world that's full of pressure. We're living in a world that's full of anguish and turmoil, and sometimes people under that stress and strain of life, especially those that do not know the Lord, that brings about sometimes a response that's very traumatic upon other people. And here we are, we've been saying for a few weeks, Merry Christmas, and hope you have a good Christmas and have a Happy New Year. And sometimes those things almost fall on deaf ears, and sometimes we say them just out of habit because we really don't think we're going to have a Happy New Year. We really don't think that a lot of people are going to have a very Merry Christmas. And we hear we see the movies about Christmas. We see hear the songs and all the festivities that go on. But yet, underlying and underneath everything is a struggle, and the turmoil is there. Certainly, we should wish happiness for our family and our gatherings together. And we're going to be doing a lot of cooking. I'm sure you ladies already have some things planned, what you're going to cook and what you're going to take care of and how you're going to give those things out. And sometimes families get together and they'll sing songs and they'll have that nostalgic time of remembering of how things used to be. But right now there's a lot of people that are troubled. The season between New Year's and Thanksgiving, or I should say from Thanksgiving to New Year's, that period of time is the most tragic time with a lot of people. More suicides and more struggles in that time frame than anywhere else, because they're looking from their heart and their mind, and they see everybody, as far as they're concerned, they see everybody happy except them. And they struggle with that, and many times destroy people around them and even destroy themselves. And so the struggle goes on. And thank God we have someone that cares about us. Job, that had gone through the struggles, he says, man that is born, he's born unto trouble. And certainly that is true. He says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. In Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is of a few days, but full of trouble. And so the scriptures tell us, and Job, of all people in the Bible, he could really give you some lessons on troubles and on sorrows and the tragedies of life. But he still knew who God was, and he never forgot who God was, and he continued to have faith in the Lord. And we get to the New Testament, Peter tells us that we can cast our cares upon the Lord because he does care for us. Our cares, our struggles can be placed upon him because he has care for us. He is interested in our life. We're not just a number to the Lord. We're not just a person with a name, but God knows our heart. God knows our needs. And so therefore we can cast those cares and struggles and problems and heartaches and everything that comes our way, we can bring those to him and he will hear us. He lends to us a ear that he can hear. He tells us that his ear is not deafened, that he cannot hear. His arm is not shortened, that he cannot reach. He's not like the rock gods and the false gods, the idols of this world that have eyes and can't see. God sees us. He's not like the idol that is stood up maybe in a holy place or a religious place but has no feelings, and it only is a cold stone or a cold image that people look to. And when we were in the Philippines, and you all, I'm sure Miss Bradley especially, saw this day in and day out as a missionary child, they would go to those shrines and those places. And when we were there, we saw one lady take their little baby, probably 2 years old, and they'd hold that baby up just so they could touch the foot of that image of that saint or that patron saint that they would have. And what a tragic thing that is. That's a cold, dead stone image that has no life, has no feeling, has no ability to do anything for us, but yet they would give their last dime and they would walk the last mile of their life in order for them to have the satisfaction that they've been told in their religion that that's what they need to do. But I'm glad we have something far better than that. I'm glad we have the Lord. I'm glad we have a God that's not cold. He's not a stone, but He's alive. He sees us. He hears us. He moves Himself to us. And the Bible tells us that He is a refuge in time of trouble. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of troubles. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry. I'm glad the Lord hears our cry. A lot of folks say, well, what's the use in praying? We're praying to the air. No, we're not praying to the air. We're praying to the God that made the air. We're praying to the Lord that gave us the air. So He hears our cry. It might be at the midnight hour when nobody else knows about it. It may be in the 2 o'clock hour of the morning. We get that phone call. We can cry out to Him that He's there for our help and for our afflictions that come upon us. He hears our cry. And the Lord says here, for I know their sorrows. Everyone in here tonight has some particular things in their life, in their family, that have sorrows and struggles. And I'm glad the Lord knows all about that. I'm glad we can go to Him and cry out to God, and He hears our cry. His ear is not deafened. He can hear us. Not only that, when we hurt, I think God hurts. He understands. He knows about that. I've told people different times, when you hurt, I hurt. When I see people struggle with certain things, I have a sympathetic heart toward them. When I see a person that can't get around and is crippled and maybe from birth has not been able to take not one step, I feel like I'm very blessed that I've been able to have the health that I've had. You see people that are not able to do things, and we sometimes take for granted what we have and what is given to us. And you look at those folks, and you see little children as they struggle with cancer and struggle with different things. I got a message today from a person that their daughter had just received, or they just received a message from the doctor from their daughter that had some kind of tumor on her brain stem, and inoperable, not anything that they can do. And the lady said, we went to the hospital thinking we'd be in the hospital for a while, knowing something was wrong, and we go home with the news that they can do nothing. Well, my heart goes out to folks like that. And I think we ought to have a heart that would be burdened because of that. Even though we may not know them, we may not ever get acquainted with them, but God's acquainted with us, and God's acquainted with every need that we have, and He knows our hurts. He knows the need. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted as we are. But thank God for those last three words, yet without sin. Every point where I've been tempted, our Lord was tempted. Every struggle that I've had in my life, He has had that struggle. And He did not falter under the load of that. He took His cross and He bore His cross. He went to Calvary, and He knows the hurt of His people. He knows the hurt of His creation. The Bible says the creation groans, and He understands, and He knows that. Not only does He hear us, not only does He hurt with us, and therefore we can come boldly to His throne, but thank God He can help us. And He does help you and I in so many things. The Bible says in Psalm number 20, verse number 1, verse number 2, the Lord hear thee in thy day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Thank God tonight He helps us. When we cannot help ourselves, when we can do nothing else, we can not go another step, another mile, I'm glad the Lord can help us to do those things. So He lends an ear to us. He hears us. He takes care of us. He hurts with us. And thank the Lord, He helps us. How many of us could say tonight that there's been a time in our life that He helped us? Sure. Many, many issues, many things that we could go back to and call specific details that nobody else maybe has the same detail. But we had something in our life that nobody could help us. If God didn't do it, then it wasn't going to get done. If God didn't take care of it, it wouldn't be taken care of. And praise the Lord, He knows how to hear our cry. The problem tonight, I'm afraid, in the Christian world, and I use that word real loosely, in the world that claims to be a Christian, I'm afraid we have very little crying out unto the Lord. I wonder how many times people cry out to the Lord for their family, their lost members of their family. Every one of us have members of our family that do not know the Lord, and we certainly need to cry out for them. People, when we hear folks that have passed on and we don't know them, we wonder, are they Christian? Are they a believer? And that cries out to us. And so the Lord lends us an ear. He's sympathetic toward us. Now, I know much of our troubles are self-inflicted. I know much of our struggles that come to us are because we are rebellious against Him, and the problems come because of our unbelief in the Lord. And he knows all about that too, and He still will hear our cry. I don't know how many times in the Old Testament Israel went away from God. There was a cycle they went through continually. God would bless them. They would prosper. They would backslide. They would get into idolatry, and God would bring judgment. The judgment would bring about a repentant heart from Israel, and then God would bless them, and God would prosper them. And then they would go through that same cycle over and over and over again. But the Lord never gave up on His people. The Lord never gave up on the nation of Israel. He's still not given up on them even tonight. There is a better day for Israel than is today. They're living under the threat of bombs and missiles continually. But there's a better day coming when they'll not have to worry about that, because the Prince of Peace will be ruling from that throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. And so he hears us, and He is sympathetic toward us, and He hears our cry. Not only that, He has given us the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord tonight for the Holy Spirit. Probably the most misunderstood individual of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. We call Him the third person of the Trinity. I don't know of a better way to describe it, because this is what we've heard, but in our minds we go first, second, third. We sort of think maybe the Holy Spirit is not as important as the second or the first person of the Trinity. And then there are those that do not even believe or accept the Trinity. And so He's misunderstood. And the workings of the Holy Spirit is greatly misunderstood in our religious world. But the Lord says, when I go, I'm going to send you another Comforter. And He says that He is the Spirit of Truth. John 15:26 says, when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, and He shall testify of what? Of Me. The Holy Spirit's job is to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not take preeminence over the work of the Son of God. He is that one that goes in the background and puts upon the hearts of individuals to listen to the Word of God. And He convicts the soul, and He comes and shows us our wrongdoing as a believer. He guides us and He directs us. But so many people think the Holy Spirit magnifies Himself. And so many people magnify really the Holy Spirit over the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is sort of like that one in the background that is pushing forward the work of the Lord. And then it's the Holy Spirit that lives within us. I know we use terminology sometimes that is common to us, but maybe sometimes we could use better terminology. We talk about Jesus living in our heart, and I understand that, but it's the Holy Spirit that lives within our body. He's taken up room and board in our lives. We no longer are our own. We've been bought with a price. And that price was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has sent the Holy Spirit, and He engulfs us. He overtakes us. He fills us, and He is that one. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we belong to Him. The reason tonight that we know we're Christian is not only from the Word of God, but as we read the Scripture and we know what the Lord says to do, and we know that we've done it, the Holy Spirit says you are a child of God. He gives you that assurance. He gives you that ingredient of understanding that we know that we're going to heaven. That's why we can say, I know I'm saved. I'm glad I don't have to say, well, I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm going. I hope everything's okay. I'm glad I can know everything's okay. I'm glad I can know that the Lord has saved me and given me life eternal. And that is given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Man is a triune being, just like God is a Trinity. Man is a Trinity. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. Man has a body, man has a spirit, man has a soul. And the Spirit of God bears witness with the spirit of man when he comes to know Christ. And he tells him, he instructs him, he gives him assurance. I think the greatest thing that a child of God can have in their life after salvation is to have the assurance that they're saved. To know that they're going to heaven and to realize that this world is not our home. And we're passing through here going to a better place. And the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us and tells us that we are God's children. And the Holy Spirit, that is God within us and God loving us. And so he bears witness with us and he helps us to understand. He helps us to take the Scripture. There's a lot of Scripture here tonight. There's a lot of chapters, a lot of words, a lot of verses. And there's a lot of things in here we don't understand. There's a lot of things in here that's confusing to a lot of people. There's a lot of things that's misread and reread, and a lot of folks have a confusion on different things. But if the Holy Spirit guides you and directs you, he can teach you and bring you to the righteous and right understanding of the things of the Lord. So he betters our understanding of the Word of God. He even helps us understand the trials that come our way. He helps us to know that we are in the will of God, and that he is there, and the trial that comes is for our good and for our betterment, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And therefore, even our trials, we can understand that the Lord is still working on us and making us a better Christian. And he has a purpose, he has a plan for every one of us. The Lord didn't save us and say, well, do the best you can now. That's the way a lot of people live. That's a lot of the way a lot of people die. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. They have no fruit of that at all. And they have nothing really to show for that. But the Lord has a purpose for us. I can tell you some people that I feel as though they really don't have any purpose in life as far as they're concerned. They have no drive. They have no purpose. They have no desire. And so they're just floating along. But God has a purpose for us. God has a reason for us being here. He has a plan for our life. And we may not know what it is, but I believe we can find out the plan of God. I don't believe he has a plan, then he says, well, I'm going to hide it from you and I'm not going to show you. I don't know what the will of God is, and I've struggled with this and I've struggled with that. I really just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, God knows what he wants you to do, and God will reveal it to you many times through his word and the preaching of the word of God. So the Spirit of God brings to us an understanding. It brings to us the remembrance of the word of the Lord. Have you ever talked with someone and all of a sudden a verse comes up in your heart? Comes up in your mind, you hadn't read it in forever. You don't remember reading it in a long time, but yet you can give that person that verse because the Holy Spirit brings it up. This mind that is up here on top of our in our head, on top of our shoulders, is far more powerful than the computers of our world. God can he's made it capable to store, and he's made it capable that we can regain those things that we have read and those things that we have known. I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard about people that had a photographic memory, and they could just tell you anything. If they've ever seen it, they remember it. That's a blessing. But I believe all of us have that capability. We may not use it, and we may not be blessed with it, but I believe God has given us a mind that we can at least take the promises of the Lord and the Holy Spirit bring those things to life and are new to us, and that we can follow the directions that God gives to us. Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." So the sufferings have no comparison at all to the glory that God has for us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost brings to our remembrance that which we've heard, that which we've read, that which we've studied, that which we've tried to memorize. And those things, the Holy Spirit helps us because He lives on the inside. When we got saved, He moved in and He helps us. So we have that Holy Spirit. We have that message from the Lord. We have that part of the Trinity that lives within each of us. So we have the Spirit. We have that ear that sympathizes toward us, and we have the Scriptures, have the Word of God. We have the message. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Everything that we have in this book tonight is for our learning. It's for our help. It's for our betterment. And therefore, we can cast our cares upon Him. The reason as a Christian we know that we can call upon the Lord is because we've read it in the Bible. We believe the Bible is true. So therefore, I can call upon God and He'll hear me because He does what? He cares. So those things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Here the Scripture says that it is a comfort to us. It is that which brings patience to us, the Word of God. Our Bibles are called Holy Bibles, and because they have the Holy Word of the Lord. And so we have the Scriptures tonight that help us. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." The Scriptures tell us who the Lord is. He tells us of God's perception of our condition. He knows where we are. Have you ever felt like you're all alone? I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes you feel like nobody's there to hear. There's nobody there to help. There's nobody that I can cry to. I'm just out here wandering along as maybe like a ship without a rudder on the sea. And I'm just going to and fro, tossed by every wind that comes my way. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord knows my situation. I'm glad the Lord knows my need. And I understand that through the Scripture. And the Scriptures can give us comfort even in times of our trouble. The Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, that God, how that He protects us from troubles and through troubles. Now, we're not guaranteed a perfect life, but we are guaranteed a life headed toward perfection. And on the way from here to glory, there's a lot of bumps. There's a lot of potholes. There's a lot of mountains, a lot of valleys. And I'm glad the Lord can protect us through our troubles. Psalm 34, verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him." And then it says, and what? "Delivereth them." The angel of the Lord encamps around about us. It might shock us tonight if we saw who really and what really is encamped around us. It might shock us sometimes if we would be able to see the principalities and powers of the air, and the battle that goes on for the individual and for even the body. We know that Moses' body was fought for. We know that there's a struggle that goes on. But thank God, the Bible tells us that He protects us through our troubles. Satan knew that God had a hedge around Job, and he said, if you didn't have that hedge, He'd curse you. He'd deny you. And so the Lord took down the hedge. In all this, the Bible says, Job did not fail the Lord. He did not fail the things of God. Satan must have permission before he could even touch you. The devil doesn't have total power. He is on a long leash, but he's on a leash. He can't do what he wants to do. He does what the Lord permits him to do. And that's why we say God knows every step of the way. God knows the struggles we're in, because if it's there, God has permitted that and God has let that take place. The Bible tells us that God has power to take us through all of our troubles, all of our sorrows, all of our difficulties of life. Thank God he can deliver us. For I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do those things that's before me. Those mountains that seem impossible to climb. Those valleys that seem impossible to go through. Even the valley of death and the shadow of death. But I'm glad we can do that, because we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ will work in you. He will help you. He will instruct you. He'll sustain you. He'll strengthen you. And thank God he satisfies all of his children. So tonight we have a great blessing in these hours, in this troubled world, the world around us. God cares. And Peter tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Those are three things. He has an ear that's sympathetic toward us. He has a spirit that lives within us. We have a scripture that is before us. But I believe as important as any of those three, if it's used correctly and used right, we have the saints around us to motivate us and to help us and to encourage us. May God help us to be encouragers, not discouragers. Have you ever talked to someone and when you got finished talking to them, you felt worse than you did when you started? Now, they've just been a discouragement from the word go. From the very beginning, they're just, nothing good comes out of their mouth. Nothing happy, nothing joyous, nothing good. And they just continually are in that frame of mind. But you and I, as a child of God, as a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to motivate people. We ought to encourage people to serve the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them." God comforts us and helps us that we might be able to comfort them. Everything that comes to our life, we can use it somewhere, sometime, to help somebody else. If we've not gone through it, we can't really say, "I know how you feel." I can't tell Brother Darrell I know how he feels in the loss of a brother. I have no brother. But I can sympathize with him and know the loss of a family member. But that's different. So much different. But there are things that have come to me that I can talk to people about and can encourage them that it can work out. It can be okay. There's struggles. There's health issues. There's problems that have come to all of us that we can use those things. Even though sometimes it damages us. And it brings a burden to us. There are those things that we can use, that we can be an encouragement to someone else. The Bible says that the Lord comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort therewith, we ourselves are comforted of God. God comforts us. We comfort them. God comforts us. There's that circle. I don't know of a more trying time than I had just a couple of years ago. Mentally bombarded with so many wonders and thoughts. And going every day down there to the radiation, and some of you have done the same thing. But that's not a cakewalk. That's not easy. But I can tell someone now, it'll be okay. I can tell someone now, the feeling. I know the feeling. I know the struggle. Some of you can do the same thing. And so God comforts us in those issues of our life, that we somewhere down the path of our life, we might run to someone who's had the very same thing. We are not the only one that has suffered our particular need. We're not the only one that's gone through whatever it might be. There's somebody else that has gone through it. And there's somebody else you may meet in life that will be going through it. And you can say, my friend, I know what I can tell you what to expect. I know how you feel. I know the sorrows. I know the heartache. I know the battle for your mind. You want to give up. You want to say no use. But thank God He is able and He comforts us. He strengthens us. And we comfort one another by loving one another, not by killing one another. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be there just to be a help. Be there to be a comfort, to be a guide, to be a strength, a strength that they can lean upon, knowing that the Lord helps us. So He loves us. We love one another. He lifts us up, and we can lift one another in the problems. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:12, wherefore lift up hands which hang down and feeble knees. Just lend a helping hand. Just be that person that I'm available, that I'm here for you. We can comfort one another by leading one another in the right path. And so you're going the wrong direction. Well, how do you know? Well, I've gone that way. I've been down that path. There's no good down that path. There's no joy at the end of that path. I've been there. So I'm warning you, don't do that. So we can help someone by leading them, setting that example of trusting the Lord. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And because He cared for me one day, He cared for you. Thank God I can care for people. We ought to have a heart for people. I pray God never gives us a cold, indifferent, unattending heart, but that we see needs that folks have, we do our best to be that comfort, that strength. Because we live in a world that is not very easy to live in. It takes a lot of work to keep things above water. It takes a lot of things to go on. It takes a lot of money to do. And I tell you, there's a lot of people struggling tonight. And may God help us to show them that God cared for us and we care for them. May God help us tonight to do that in our personal life. In this troubled world, God cares. In this wicked world, God cares. In this world that's gone crazy, God cares. And praise the Lord tonight, He cares for me, He cares for you, and He cares for them. Let's stand together.